This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's the Thursday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby live here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got Peyton and Caitlin live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. A stacked show for you today. The payload at 6:40. Lions play-by-play voice, Dan Miller, at 7:20 during the commercial-free expressway. We'll go more local than everyone else with the Neighborhood Watch at 7:40. Opening of the star season, Brent Severn will join us at 8 to bust our balls, talking hockey, and then Babe Laufenberg at 8:40. So trying to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible, but we start with the scene that Peyton texted us from last night in Florida, the roof ripped off of Tropicana Field in Tampa.
1 million without power. The roof obviously gone.
So with that roof, is that just cloth that went? Like, metal didn't get blown away, right? It was cloth.
Yeah, I think it's like a vinyl or something like that. But I mean, it's because there's a lot of people this morning criticizing. It's like, why was this a spot for first responders when this was something that so easily you knew could get ripped off?
Right. Probably because it's just the biggest indoor facility they have. And they maybe weren't thinking, oh, this thing is going to get ripped off. But it got ripped. I mean, it didn't even last 4 hours in that storm. And then you see, God, that's the life you got to live. Like, there was this couple. They tied down the roof of their house.
Yeah, they had like the
straps.
Those ratchet straps or whatever.
And it's like, God, the amount of.
I saw people getting paid to board up houses.
Got to board up houses. Yep, we got to do that. They were strapping down their roof.
Amanda told me that people were flying to Florida to get their TikTok content for Disney. And I was like, wait, you're telling me Disney didn't close down and shut down? She's like, nope, not as of yesterday, early afternoon, late morning.
No, they just raised their prices. They got to get everybody in there.
Then throw in all the tornadoes.
Yeah, see, that's
the one. Getting the hurricane and then the tornadoes on top of it.
That's the one part of hurricanes that nobody really talks about is on the outskirts of the hurricane, like on the very outer edges of the storm. It's like tornado season. And no matter what time of year it is, it's crazy. Thankfully, this thing is down to a category one now.
Oh, is it?
And the wind is not even 30 miles an hour in terms of the regular speed.
Was yesterday, what, at its max, it was kind of like at a 3?
Well, it was a 5 as it made, right? As it was approaching landfall, it was a 5. But yeah, I think when it hit land, it may have been just down to a 3 at that point.
155 mile per hour winds.
Yeah, WFAA, I think it was the other night, I was watching them explain
Delcus is in Florida.
It was not Delcus. It was somebody I'd never seen before. And he was talking about how when it was over the ocean, it's like, it's more intense. It's category 5 over here. He's like, but it's such a tight wall eye that if you look at it, there's only 31 miles worth of hurricane force winds. He's like, as it's approaching and it becomes a category 3, you think, oh, it's weakening. He's like, it actually broadens how wide the hurricane winds are. It's like, so now it's covering 180 miles worth of territory of hurricane force winds.
So now that it's down to a 1, is it supposed to just have dissipated now? Or are we supposed to go back up?
It's crossing the state, and it'll go out to sea. Now, there's a chance, and I think this will happen with Sandy. Remember Hurricane Sandy? It went out to sea, and then it kind of picked up steam, and it made like a turn north, and that's when it hit like New York City and everything, and that would be the concern here. But yeah, it looks like it's crossing the state and not going up towards the Carolinas like Helene did, so that's good.
1 in every 5 gas stations out of fuel, so you had people stuck in the 6-hour traffic to get out of the state. And then they had to make the decision to turn around and go back because they didn't have gas and they were going to get stuck right there in the traffic and break down on the road because the gas is being taken up.
And gas being taken up, and you're just burning so much fuel idling. I mean, these people were said there was footage and videos of people saying it took them 4 hours to go 60 miles. That's very L.A. That's what happens in L.A. traffic. And it's 4 hours to go 60 miles. You can't get anywhere. If you're in Tampa, 60 miles is not even going to get you to Orlando.
And then the story of Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan.
I lost total control of this yesterday going back and forth. You have this guy on his boat who says, I'm not going anywhere. All I'm going to do is rise up with the water. It's better to be on my little boat on my water than on land. There are people saying, no, this is a social media dude. He's got 3 or 4 different accounts. He set up a GoFundMe that had over 20K yesterday. He's doing TikTok updates. And the mayor apparently came out. Well, I saw the mayor on TV say, these are the types of people when they don't listen, we just tell them, write their name on the inside of their jacket so we Jeez. Can identify you.
Yeah.
And then the word came out that they went and got Lieutenant Dan. They're like, we're not going to let you die because when you call for first response, there may be no one answering. We're not going to send someone out there in the middle of this thing in order for them to die. So we're going to go and get you. And then people went and checked on Lieutenant Dan, and he was apparently still in the boat. So I don't know what the hell is going on.
He's undefeated. He stood out there and weathered the storm. His head just kind of popping out of the boat. You see him there, and everybody's thrilled. They're also circulating right now, as tends to happen whenever you become famous like this. They'll dig up stuff on you really quick. So also what's circulating right now is all 14 of Lieutenant Dan's Florida mugshots being shared across the internet right now. But he's there. He made it. He seemed to make it through the storm.
Made it.
So now everyone is waiting for the sun to come up to see the carnage and the damage.
Yeah, I mean, like 7 a.m. It should be any minute now where they'll be able to see something. I mean, obviously it's cloudy, so that'll delay it a little bit. But it's just scary. Like this tornado season, because you had it back to back. You had it like in the last 7 days. You've had 2 major ones.
So the roof has been blown off the Trop, the home of the Rays. They are not in the playoffs, but the playoffs were going down last night in Major League Baseball. And the magic continues.
Now the pitch. Swinging a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1.
Oh, that gave me some goosebumps. What a call. What a scene as the New York Mets eliminate Filthy 3-1. The rest of the series are still all alive. Detroit shuts out Cleveland 3-0. The New York Yankees get a huge win on the road, and they'll have Gerrit Cole going today. They beat Kansas City 3-2, and the Dodgers all over the Padres to even things up at 2. Game 5 set up for them.
And this was a like a bullpen day for the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers just were like, hey, we're just going to go out there.
Historic bullpen shutout.
They had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pitchers. 8 pitchers went in this game.
Before yesterday, no team had ever thrown a postseason shutout in a game in which the starter recorded 4 or fewer outs. Then the Dodgers and the Tigers did it almost simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Brazier who got the start for L.A., who he was with the Red Sox for a while. He's a Texas kid, but he went an inning and a third. Cease went an inning and 2/3 for San Diego, and he gave up the 3 runs. They were like, all right, we are getting you out of there. So now this thing goes back to a game 5 in L.A., so they'll shift. And, of course, the Yankees get the victory. Stanton with a huge home run. He's been, like, their best postseason hitter. And the Tigers...
Much to the delight of Bob Costas.
That was an awful call. And that was not to the delight of Bob. Bob went, I think, completely opposite last night. He is the absolute... He's not good. He is just a... Yeah. He's a storyteller, right? And he's trying to do all these stupid stories, these feel-good stories, like he's Tom Rinaldi. Like, Bob Costas is doing play-by-play like Tom Rinaldi would do it. And he's just, you know, he goes into this... It's this diatribe of this and that, and then he forgets he's actually calling a game, and there's just no emotion. There was just no emotion on any of that. I don't know if he was not able to see the home run. Clearly he was. Had to have been able. He's got, like, the best seat in the house. It's terrible. But like you said, the Tigers, they put the guards on the brink of elimination, and they can wrap it up today.
You know, there was all this talk, and obviously we've discussed how the ratings are up, and man, you got Judge in, and you've got the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Phillies, but we're just careening towards Tigers Mets, aren't we? Like, isn't that what we're heading towards? Is two sub 90 win teams in the World Series again?
Well, the winner of Padres Dodgers will be favored, right, over the Mets?
They'll be favored. They'll be favored over the Mets. Do they have the magic? The Mets have got something going on right now. And so the Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Tigers got something going on too. And they also have, they got Skubal. And that is why it was so important for Detroit, for Cleveland to win yesterday. And they didn't. Because if they had won yesterday, they could have wrapped the series up without seeing Skubal again. Because Skubal's going to go, in game five. And now, if they want to win this series, they got to go through Skubal. And you ain't going to beat him.
And Bob, what do you have on this Detroit offense?
It's been not awesome. They've scored 14 runs in five games so far, and yet they are 4-1. So in the wild card era, only one team has scored 14 or fewer runs in their first five games of a postseason run and still won four of those games. Most of them are below 500. They're 2-3 or whatever else. But that one team was the 2022 Cleveland Guardians. But Detroit has allowed two or fewer runs in four of their first five postseason games, which is something both the Rangers and Diamondbacks did last year in their first five games as well. And so Detroit, that pitching, Bassick talked about it a couple weeks ago, their pitching is so strong that it kind of doesn't matter that their offense has been sputtering. Each one of these three games, the first game was Detroit, but each one of these three games has been a shutout now between the Guardians and the Tigers. Oof. So it's just dominant pitching.
So today at 5:00, the Tigers can close things out at home hosting Cleveland. That'll be on TNT. And then at 7:00 tonight, it'll be Kansas City trying to stay alive hosting the Yankees to force game five in the Bronx.
I was wondering why they were on TNT, because they've been on TBS. But I guess they're going to stagger these games so you can watch them both. Yeah, so you'll get TNT for one, TBS for the other. I just don't care for the TBS has not figured out how to do baseball, or TNT for that matter, too. They don't put the crowd mics. You can barely hear the crowds in some of these games. And when you switch over to a Fox game, you're
maybe
like,
maybe that's what happened to us last year in the World Series.
That's exactly it.
That was Fox.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
You were there. I knew how deafening it was.
Yeah, I was there. I was there for two games in the World Series. We got robbed.
But flex. You hear like Darling and is it Frenchie and the other one? He's saying, man, these crowds are so loud. I'm like, are they? They don't sound it. And then I'm like, oh, okay, it's TBS. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Because if you switch over to the Fox broadcast on the NL, I mean, it's like crazy.
Because Ernie Johnson's not there.
The Fox broadcasts are almost a little too much crowd noise at times, though, with those shotgun mics and the way that they crank it up.
All right. Radio nerd talk is over.
That's just a thing. That's what it is.
87s. It's nerd talk. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. 877-881-1053 live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The payload at 640. Detroit Lions play-by-play voice Dan Miller at 720, followed by the Neighborhood Watch. Brent Severn gets you ready for the star season kicking off tonight. And then Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 on DFW Sports Station. We thought Deron Bland was going to be limited. Oh, we got better news than that yesterday. What's going on with Tyler Guyton and Micah Parsons and the Detroit Lion receiver who says this Cowboy, man, he goes way, way, way over the top. Inside the Star for Cowboys Lions next. How about this great news? Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Deron Bland was a full participant in yesterday's practice. McCarthy said he would be on a pitch count, but would practice yesterday. Tyler Guyton, supposed to be practicing yesterday as well. And Micah Parsons working with the rehab group.
Yeah, and look, I think we're still probably stretching things a little bit to think that Micah could go this week, but Deron Bland, all signs pointing to he's going to be ready to go.
So Jerry wasn't real truthful with us on Tuesday.
Was he not real truthful, or just had he not gotten the update yet?
Yeah,
I mean, it was Tuesday morning. It may just be that they hadn't updated everything yet, but the concerning one from the injury report yesterday is the fact that Kendricks is dealing with two different things, and he's been so steady for them and so solid. And then behind that, you go, okay, well, if he's out, who's wearing the green dot? And it's like, okay, well, that's typically Nick Vigil. Well, Nick Vigil is also on the injury report. Both of those guys didn't practice yesterday. So your communication against a Lions offense that likes to do a lot of deceptive things and stress you, your communication may not be really strong heading into this game if either one of those guys are out.
So Guyton practicing is not a surprise.
No, Guyton at this point, they felt pretty comfortable. Some of the discussion that was being had Monday when McCarthy got back in the building, and then obviously some of what we heard from Jerry and Steven. Guyton was anticipated that he was going to be ready, but the concerning one for me right now would be Kendricks. The fact that he's not practicing, that can kind of throw things off for them defensively.
Bobby Belt went viral late Sunday with his video from Pittsburgh downstairs after the game with Jordan Lewis basically saying, Pittsburgh, they need to go find a number one receiver. George Pickens ain't it. Well, yesterday, J. Lou followed up, quote, honestly, I shouldn't have said that. It was an emotional game. There was some chatter on the field. One thing led to another. He had a moment. I had a moment. It was too emotional. I should not have said that. Well, right after that on my timeline, I get a reminder from Amon-Ra St. Brown this offseason talking about facing the Cowboys last year, and they asked Amon-Ra on the Pivot Pod, who's the biggest trash talker out there?
Jordan Lewis, I think, is his name, from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't talk much unless someone's going to talk to me. You know, I block hard. I do all that. But he was talking crazy, like some shit I've never heard before. I'm like, yo, hold on. Like, I'm gonna have to go hard on this. Like, he was talking crazy out of pocket. Even JMO heard it too. He was coming in. At that point, it's like, I don't know what he's saying. I'm trying to make plays, win the game. I'm not worried about him. But once he starts talking like that, it's like, if I do get a chance to kill him, I'm gonna kill him.
So now I have to know, in the world of professional sports with trash talk, what is so far over the line that an athlete has never heard before? Oh. Where is Jordan Lewis going with his verbal game?
It's got to be pretty dark. I would imagine there's some research involved, and then just throwing some jabs out there. That's what I would assume. Now, it could just be he's...
And Jordan talks like he blacks out, like he's on an alcoholic bender.
Right.
He said, I don't know what I said. I just lost it.
I think he knows what he probably said. He just knows, like, oh, it's I can't claim that. I can't claim what I was saying out there. It got a little intense. But
you are going with some, like, kink stuff. Has to be. Just some weird...
Something that really messes
out
with
there.
Him.
Right. There's no... To get somebody whose life is in a locker room to be speechless over content, you've got to be going really in.
Well, because they're out there, they're used to hearing it when they're on the bench from visiting crowds. There's nothing you can say that's going to make me acknowledge you because I'm used to hearing all of it. He must just be talking crazy the way fans do behind the benches. Like, it's got to be that level where they're just like, you're a player. Why am I hearing this right here?
A little bit of business to handle, thanks to our friend Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio, texted Choppy and I yesterday on our way home after the show.
Didn't text me.
That
he knows who you are.
Chris Mad Dog Russo taking some possible shots while talking about Jerry Jones on with us Tuesday morning.
Now, yesterday, of course, Jerry Jones did his radio program, heard by about six people in Dallas, talking about the Cowboy identity after that win Sunday night against Pittsburgh.
Now, Choppy immediately tried to go into defense mode for his boy with Russo, and I was like, "Who would that be a shot at if not us?" Here's Jerry Jones on his radio show, heard by about six people. You think that's just an insult to Jerry?
At first, I was like, because that's how he talks, right? You got to know him. Like, he would, like, he thinks Jerry, like, nobody wants to hear from him.
That's garbage.
He's like, why would you want to listen to him? So that's
ask
how
your
I took
producers
it.
There at First Take. Why? Because you guys are playing it.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. But, you know, after, like, thinking about it, I'm like, that was, yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. It doesn't bother me because it's like one of those things where, if it's true, it's one of those things, if it was true, it would bother you. It's like if somebody questions the size of your manhood and it's true, you generally are upset about it. If it's not, then you don't really ever care. You don't care if somebody says that.
I think, like, I can't imagine why he would have any sort of a beef with our station, to where I assume he's just saying more like, Jerry, who listens to Jerry talk when he starts blabbering? Or he's just like, it's almost like a nonsensical sideswipe, like you're trying to diss Jerry or whatever. It's like, well, that's not even accurate. Like, clearly people are listening, and they're listening to what you guys are playing it now in front of millions, so it's a lot more than six people that are hearing it, like, just from that. And
does he know Bobby didn't hold the door for him?
No, I did hold the door for him. I shouldn't have. I wouldn't have if I'd known who it was. I was just holding the door because I saw some diminutive little man walking behind me, and then I hit, thank you. I was like, oh, that's Russo. That's who's behind me.
I thought you were going to say disheveled mess. Chris, just make sure that the water temperature is correct for Stephen A., just like you did for Francesa. Make sure you're by the cooler and you got the right amount of ice cubes, and pay off your bets. Stop barking so loud. I'm sorry we don't lead our show with horse racing every day in Wimbledon, because I know that's what the people want to go ahead and hear. I guarantee Nadal leads. Well, baseball, then Nadal for Chris Russo today. So screw you and F you, Chris.
Wimbledon did go to full AI judging, so it could be that they lead with that and then Nadal. I don't know how he might flip those on his show stack. It just depends.
So there's Chris Russo with a little side comment. Aaron Rodgers going on with Pat McAfee and his reaction to his head coach being run.
I love Coach Sala. We have a very solid relationship. We have since, I met him in 2021 and had a nice conversation when they came and visited us for joint practices. He was a big reason why I came to the Jets. You know, I felt like the team, you know, was a solid team. Had a relationship with Coach Hackett, obviously. And I really liked Coach Sala. Everything that Matt LaFleur said about him, the few interactions I've had, the times that we went against him, I just had a lot of respect for him. And so, you know, it was just a reminder yesterday how tough the business is.
That's part one. Part two, what about all the allegations that you pulled a power play? You could have saved him, you didn't save him, and you were behind it with Woody Johnson on that phone call.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, one of those days yesterday.
Nope, fake, lying. He's lying. Too many PR buzzwords. He gave us resent. Accusations patently false. It's way too prepared. And then when he said, as far as those allegations, like his like voice cracked a little bit too. This is a total prepared BS denial. I still believe 100% he went in there and he's like, you got to get rid of, old boy.
The moment he said resent, you knew it was men don't resent things.
And patently false.
Men don't get offended. We don't resent things.
I mean, I just did to Chris Russo.
Well, a little soft on your part, but I accept it.
You're just
it.
A New York homer. You're just a Russo fanboy.
I am. You know, but I do like Chris. That's fine. I thought it was a funny comment. That's why I didn't get upset. I deal in one thing, humor. If it's funny, I let it slide. If it's not funny, that was funny. I got to take it. Got to take it on the chin. This, you said he resents it. You don't resent it. There's zero chance that you had a conversation with the owner the night before. And it wasn't, let's just say it was brought up. Let's just say the owner said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean like, because players want the plausible deniability. They want to be able to say, I had no hand in this. And technically, if Woody said to him, I'm thinking of doing this, just letting you know, that's Rodgers could say, well, he never asked. He just kind of gave me a heads up. You know, he never asked. But he still would have had a chance to say, no. I like this dude.
Yeah.
Right? Don't do that.
I mean, look, when he says, it's interesting the power people will think I have, which I don't. Okay. You are literally the only reason Nathaniel Hackett is employed in the NFL right now. And he's running your offense. So don't tell me you don't have power. After what happened in Denver, nobody else was going to hire Nathaniel Hackett that year other than the Jets because Aaron Rodgers wanted them to. So if you have the ability to hire a...
You told the head coach how the cadence were going to work.
Yes, right. To the point that he turned tail the next morning and went like, sorry, Aaron. Yeah, sorry. We'll keep going with the cadence the way he wants. You absolutely run that organization. You have LeBron levels of power in running your organization.
Some other quarterback news. This may set up a future morning show contest between Choppy and Bobby. Spencer Rattler is getting the start for Derek Carr in New Orleans, who is injured. Drake May finally gets his chance in New England. And Aiden O'Connell will take over for Gardner Minshew as Nico Collins goes to the fantasy football IR because the Texans got him on their IR. So Rattler, May, Aiden O'Connell.
Well, maybe Tank Dell will finally do something for me this year in fantasy. The Rattler one is very, very interesting because he has the decision-making of Peyton.
Manning?
No.
Russell. Ah.
Whoa. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
But, I mean, he's got, like, if you were, like, he's got every physical tool. He's got a ton of physical tools. He does have a good arm. He can move. He's got everything. But I don't know that he has any idea where to throw the ball on any given play. But I'm very intrigued by this because he's one of those, this is one of those measurable type guys that you buy into.
I need him to be bad. I need Spencer Rattler to be a bad football player because I dug in really hard on that one. And it's been a bad year for quarterback takes that I've dug in on. And so I need a win here, and I need him to be bad, and then I need Drake May to be awesome right out of the gate. When, those two got to happen.
When did you give up on Rattler being, you know, the hyped number one prospect? After he left Oklahoma?
No, right around the time he was about to get benched for Caleb. Yeah. Because it was just you watching him, it's like the dude's footwork was some of the worst I had ever seen. That, like, he throws on the back of his heels. He looks like a defensive back backpedaling when he's throwing the ball.
He had so much. So he was like one of the top. I think he was the top rated player coming out of high school.
Top rated quarterback.
Yeah, and how much of that was. And Bobby's right. Like, he did throw up his back foot a lot, and he was able to get away with that at the high school level.
He just acted like such a punk too. Mm-hmm. Every time you'd hear him in the media, he was such a douche.
And after transferring his play,
It was a little rocky at first when he got to South Carolina. By the end, he was playing really well. He hung 63 on you guys on Tennessee.
And Clemson the following week.
Absolutely.
And that was
random. He played better near the end. And I know, like, for instance, they weren't going to draft him, but they valued everybody. Like, Cowboys liked him. They thought he was good. And so, there's a lot of people that like him, so we'll see.
Inside the Star and around the NFL here with the live Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. Thank you for being a total. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Are you down for some snake yoga? And would you ever do this at the drive-thru? The Thursday edition of The Payload with Philip Peyton Russell is next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It's The Payload every Thursday at this time. That's all I do, Laura. That's all I do is press the buttons. That's Bobby's child, by the way. Shout out, Laura.
Now, we're laughing because in the commercial break, Bobby said, Peyton, money down guaranteed, will say, that is right. That's his go-to. Yep. We found your crutch phrase. Yep. That is right.
Is it a good thing? I don't know. It just seems like it's
familiar. Okay. I don't mind it. I think as an intro to your segment, it's a familiarity. It's a consistency. It's an appointment with the listener. It's good.
Just like you do usually a tease for the below the belt. You say, we talk this. That'll come up in a second. But first we get to, you know.
See, exactly.
I like that at exactly. all.
Different tease every day.
All right, guys. First off, let's talk about snakes. No, we're not talking about Kevin Durant or Sean snakes in his backyard. Which are they out of there, Sean? Did the pee get them?
You had the one, right, last week?
I had one last week. Mm. I had a rat snake. Now, what happened was because of foundation shifting and everything, it created a little bit of a gap underneath my snake fence. Oh, no. Snake fence still intact, but there's a little bit of a gap, and my long guy Ryan hits me up. He goes, there's a snake back here. Would you like us to call animal control? And I was like, yes, please, or run over it, and back and forth and back and forth, shred it up. And you want to talk about something emasculating. I go out in the front yard with the animal control truck pulled up and two like 16-year-old girls get out. And I was like, What are you guys here for? What are you guys doing? We're here for the snake. Then I see the net come out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God. I walk back in my house all defeated because these two 16-year-olds are like, yeah, you know, we're just going around picking up copperheads and everything. So it was about a 2 or 3 foot rat snake that I had in the backyard.
So you saw them walk up and your first thought was like two Thin Mints, two Samoas, and then,
wow.
And then they came to you and said, no, we're here to handle what you can't.
Amanda tried to Marcy Darcy me. She's like, what, why are you so surprised? Like, I said, you know damn well why I'm so surprised. Stop. And then she shut it down real quick. She didn't try to keep triggering me or arguing with me. I was like, these two little girls getting out of this van to deal with this 3 foot snake. And I have not been in the backyard since.
Well, Sean, I don't know
I said teenagers, you freak.
I don't think you're making it any better.
Nasty freak. Both of y'all go ahead and be inappropriate. Spittle, that's not me. That's them, Spittle, not me.
Well, Sean, we're going to talk about pythons this segment, okay? These are
now we're talking about me.
This is a yoga studio in California, RJ, your favorite place here.
Very bad place, California.
It's the latest trend. They're calling it snake yoga. You know, they have dog therapy, dog yoga, apparently, you know, other, I guess, goat therapy too, or goat yoga. But now we're going to snake yoga here. You're doing basic yoga, up dog, down dog, all that fun stuff. But you have a python slithering around you the whole time. Apparently it's supposed to calm you. Now this studio, these instructors say the snake doesn't bite, which I guess if you guarantee that, then maybe it's not that bad, you know, big deal. But I don't know if I enjoy. I don't know if I'll enjoy this because you're paying $160 per class for 45 minutes, and you have a python slithering around you. Now I'm no reptile genius here, but at any point these snakes can wrap around you and choke you out, can they not?
Well, I mean, if they're big enough, yeah, they could have. I mean, they could absolutely.
These are pretty big snakes.
Yeah, I don't know how big these are.
Is there a purpose to the goat yoga? Or is it just something cute? Like, is it supposed to do something to improve your yoga, your technique, your balance with the goats on your back and everything? And you're saying the purpose of this is to relax, supposedly.
Yeah, relax. I guess just the slithery skin of the snake that, I don't know, calms you. I think it's more balance than anything. Being able to balance a snake, you know, gliding, you know, going and crawling around your skin, I guess. But
I am surprised by the amount of people who are just cool with the snake crawling on them. Like, yeah. We'll go out. I'm guaranteed there's a snake exhibit at the state fair. Mm-hmm. People will be lining up just to let this thing go around their neck and shoulders.
They're creepy. Like, seeing them on the ground is one thing. Having them crawl all over you.
I think you would let one crawl on you. You said you've conquered your fear.
I've conquered them to the point of I don't soil myself when I walk near one.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want one crawling on me. Like, that's... you can't train a snake. So are you going to say, oh, how do you know it's not going to bite you? Now, like, a boa doesn't have, like venomous fangs, but still has teeth. It'll still latch onto you.
Would you be more willing to, like, handle a python and let it, like, crawl all over you, or have to, like, ride Titan and go, like, 250 feet in the air with your height sphere?
I would rather the snake crawl all over me.
Wow.
Well, Titan can also come off the tracks.
Yeah. Ah, that's Texas Giant. Come on. Titan's,
yeah,
Titan's
fine. Excuse me. Yeah, I would probably let a snake crawl on me than get on that Ferris wheel.
Mackenzie, would she be down for this?
Oh, no. No way. No. Although she does take care of the wasp nest that, you know, I told you, I'm deathly afraid of wasps in my house. And so anytime we get a wasp nest, I'm like, all right, you go take care of it. I'll deal with the spiders or something.
She's scared of what?
No, I'm scared of wasps. So she deals with the wasp nest.
Wasp nest?
Why are you picking on him? Stop being a bully. Stop being a bully.
I don't hear the beat.
You're the last one. Your voice, your temperament, the stuff you do during your segments and talking on the radio, you ain't one to pick at somebody. Just leave him alone. Shut up.
Yes, Dad.
Beehives, Bobby. We'll call them that. But I did want to ask you, what's an insect or bug or reptile that you guys would just, no matter the price, even if they were guaranteed not to hurt you or kill you, what's an insect or reptile that you would not let walk over you while doing yoga? Is a snake the only one, or are you a spider? Mine would be any kind of bee or anything with a stinger, really.
You know, I don't like mice and rats either.
Mm. No, they're disgusting.
Ooh, rats. Yeah, those are just
pretty nasty.
Gross. So, yeah, probably a rat. But, I mean, if you're telling me it's not going to bite me or do anything and that's a guarantee, then there's probably not anything.
Yeah, spiders don't bother me. It's just, they're, like, again, they're things that they're the same thing. Like, even if they get on you, they might bite you.
Tarantula. Ugh, those are hairy. Yeah, that's gross. Furry. Never mind, tarantula.
Tarantula.
Yeah, that's gross.
I'm getting a whole new world of spiders out in Sunnyvale.
I bet.
As I killed one the other day, and then 100 little ones started running out.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
That's freaking.
Talk about scrambling to try to make sure they're not all over the house, and I got webs everywhere.
All right, it's the payload, or I'll say that is right, is the payload every Thursday at this time. Guys, we go from one animal to another. Now, look, this is a survey from the Action Network, and they surveyed over hundreds of MMA fans. I don't know why they picked on the MMA fans, but that's a survey question here. And they're talking about, it's just the generic question of, oh, what animal would you pick a fight with? What animal do you think you could beat? And, you know, obviously there's bears and, you know, raccoons here, dogs, but...
That's why they surveyed MMA fans.
That's
like,
a good point.
You think you can fight. Oh. You think that you're a martial arts expert. What could you beat up?
But part of the survey was to talk to Texans, mainly. They just targeted Texans here. Now, out of these percentages, it's over 100%. Because I guess on the survey, you can pick multiple animals they had listed. So if you want to pick an elk and a kangaroo, you can pick multiple. So when I say the percentages, it's not out of 100. It's out of more like 200 or so. But once again, Texans are dumb. Over almost 6% say they could fight a bear. I don't know what drug you have to take to where you can confidently say you can take on a bear and beat them. I think it's stupid, it's idiotic, and it's insane to me.
Look, I'm not going to answer this because this is freak type radio and we see where that got them. But my question is, do we deal with in the state of Texas an exorbitant amount or a higher level of wildlife to give us this type of irrational confidence? Like, Texas versus other states, right? California, you're dealing with a bunch of stuff. But the amount of wildlife, whether it's coyotes, we're sitting here talking about cottonmouths, I don't know the bear ratio that we deal with actually here, but I'm trying to rationalize why Texans feel like they're so much more tougher or apt to deal with an animal like this. Like, where would we fall on the dealing with wildlife rankings?
Hi, I don't think we're on the level of like Wyoming,
right?
Montana,
Vermont.
An irrational confidence. Floridians are pretty bad.
Yeah,
because they're like, oh yeah, you just go up there and smack the croc and just get them off the golf course. It's no big deal.
Yeah, Florida would be above us.
Florida is just like a step away from Australia, right? They're just a step away from Aussies. They're just nuts. We're high. I mean, I think we're in the top 10. I would say we're top 10 in being able to deal with wildlife.
We were talking about this there was some issue that had come up or some question that had come up about the number of people that thought they could fight a bear. Or something. It was just absurd. And so we were like talking on a weekend a couple years ago. We're like, who here at the station is most likely to try and who would convince themselves if we were like cornered? We'd be like, we could all take it down. And we settled on Chiafalo, that Chiafalo would like talk us all into, guys, we got a bunch of us. We can just surround him. Like, we can take him down. There's a lot of us. We can take that bear. It's not that big a deal.
This is the type, as my wife would say, this is some white people ass. This type of stuff white people think of racist. And do. It's not racist. It's true stupidity. That's what it is.
Which is the bear that you get big on? You gotta get big and loud.
I don't know.
Black bear. Nope. Black bear. No, polar bear, you're already dead.
Polar bear. If you see a polar bear, I mean, just start
it's
making
over.
Phone calls.
You're dead.
Start making phone calls saying your piece.
Well, you just take away their ice and then they die. So it's a.
Sheesh, baby.
Their what?
Take away their ice.
They don't have ice, you know, they can't move around. They're hot. They're warm. Oh, the polar they burn bears. Up.
We're already doing that.
Seal up their holes.
It's a slow play. On our part, Peyton.
All right, one last story here, guys. So when you go slow through the drive-through, I mean, what's the end goal here? You're just trying to order your food and get on with your day, right?
Generally, when you
do you
go,
like when the drive-through employee starts talking
wait,
to
wait,
you?
Wait, Peyton, if I say take away their honey, do you know that reference?
No, I don't think I do.
I don't know that.
Take away a bear's honey.
That's just what bears like eat. They get
the cartoon
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
I just wanted to test you right there. Back to the drive-thru.
All right. So when you're at the drive-thru, what's the end goal here? You're just trying to order your food and get through your day, right? But like, when do you enjoy when the employee starts talking to you, like tries to, you know, just kind of get to know you really like that?
I've never experienced it.
Nope.
Never, okay. Well,
to know me.
Well, like, okay. So, and I'll play this audio real quick, but it's Dutch Bros here, a coffee place where they try and soften things up. They just talk to you. They ask you about the day. But usually at that time in the morning, I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to get my coffee and go. And I don't want to be rude and, you know, be a D and roll up the window. But, you know, I'll talk back and forth with them. But here's a, you know, commentary back and forth here between a lady and the drive-thru employee. And I think he gets a little frisky here and goes a little too far.
Can I make it a large?
Yeah, you baby, Burger King have it your way, baby. Let me tell you something. So boom, so I got two thighs, a small fry, and a large what, boo boo kid?
Strawberry Fanta.
Strawberry Fanta. Bam, you want a pepper with this thing?
I would like two peppers, please.
Ooh, she would like two pepper, please. Look at her hungry this late at night. Bam. Okay, it'll be all for you right here, boo boo.
No.
You big hungry. Let's get it. What else you got? You said something for you. You got somebody else to come.
No, it's just me. But I have a question because they said that you guys are the ones with the seasoned French fries. So
you got a who?
Y'all fries are seasoned.
Our fries are seasoned like us, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, this ain't dietary food over here. You hear me? Yeah, talk to me. I talk back. You ready for it? Yeah, you want some season on your fries? You trying to tell me that right there? Will they complete your order right now?
Yes, it will.
Okay, let me repeat this thing back to you. Make sure this you I'm talking to. Two thighs of fry, lower strawberry, two peppers. An additional fry. That's you right there?
Yes.
Okay, bring my money.
Pretty funny.
Bring my money.
This is Dutch Bros?
Yeah. No. Dutch Bros was an example.
Oh, I was
this
like,
was just, yeah, this was a chicken place.
I was like, they serve chicken. If that is real, that person has to blow up and get hired for something else. That has to go and probably is viral if it's real.
If they're doing a bit, it's funny. Like, I pulled up to a Wendy's one time. When I got to the window, the guy said, "Hi, welcome to Wendy's. I got burgers, chicken, and fries. I got some salad, too, but it looks a little brown, to be honest. Order when you're ready." And then, like, that's funny. What I don't like is when I walk into, like, Fuzzy's Taco Shop. I went into there one time, and the lady behind the counter was just like, "Oh, right on." Right? With everything that I would tell her that I want is like, "Right? Oh, yeah, that's a good choice." That's what I hate, and shutting that down.
The Whataburger off Glade has somebody who does exactly like this. I love it. They love their job.
Gotta record it.
Eh.
Go viral. Come on.
I don't go there enough.
All you have to do is go once. It's the payload every Thursday at this time for the 6 a.m. Club here on DFW Sports Station. RJ is changing the baseball playoffs. And do the players and the rest of the NBA believe in the Dallas Mavericks getting back to the finals? That's right here, followed by the voice of the Lions at 7:20 during the Expressway. Sean, RJ, and Bobby, Thursday edition, continuing on The Fan. Yeah.